Thought Lori's introduction would be a little longer and I'd have a couple more seconds. Somehow I drew the short straw this morning and I get to be the first elder to tell my faith story. My story is not going to be the most interesting one that you hear today, and fortunately for me, it is not filled with trials and tribulations. But it is going to be one about a little girl who grew up in a small town where church always did and still does make her feel at home. I was baptized in this church in 1984 by Reverend Hoffman, not this building, the one on Main Street that is now part of the hospital. During our Sunday school years, Pedro taught us Bible songs in Spanish, and I believe it was third grade when Pedro encouraged us to ask God into our heart. Although I had always been a believer, I hadn't remembered ever taking that step. So I did right then and there in that classroom. Thank you, Pedro. Which, by the way, it's very difficult for me to call him that because it's been Señor Fuentes for 43 years, so. In 1991 through 92, alongside the other members of our youth group, I attended confirmation classes, and on April 26th, 1992, I was confirmed and became a member of this church. It was a crew of misfits that probably would never have been friends had it not been for this church. But those friends became like family, and even their extended family became ours. For example, Nancy Pekins was like a grandmother to all of us, and we all miss her dearly. One of my favorite memories was Youth Sunday, where Ron and Becky would split the sermon and Charlie and I would lead the children's time. And for those of you who don't know my family history, my dad used to own the racetrack. But no matter how late we got home on Saturday night, Mom made sure we were here Sunday morning. Eventually, we all grew up and moved on, but some of us stuck around or came back. I've seen some highs and lows of this church. I sang on our praise team. I've served as a deacon and elder. And if you're looking for someone to blame about me being a current elder, it's Dennis. He convinced me to serve again. But no matter where we're going through, no matter what this church is going through, it has always been my home, and it's been the place that I come to recharge my batteries. So I feel this introit song is very fitting for me to end my story.
Please join me in the call to worship. Come, let us speak plainly and boldly of our faith. The Spirit of God descends upon us, and Christ's promise to us is fulfilled. The expression of the Spirit's power in our community is a wonder to behold. We each have a different voice, yet we witness God's joy together. Amen. Let us pray. How can this be, wonder-working God? You bring the gift of the Spirit to be with us, our comforter, our advocate, our counselor, our wisdom. These are but a few of the names we give as the Spirit speaks to our hearts. We give you thanks for the unending gifts of the Spirit. How can this be? That we have what we need when we need it. You, O God, are one and all things to us, and we raise our hallelujahs. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Listen now for the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each of them heard speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astounded, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Perinthians, Met, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I have always had faith in God, and especially in prayer, but my faith has been put to a test many times. I think being diagnosed with Parkinson's disease 13 years ago, a progressive neurological disease with no known cure at this time, and the treatments I have sought have been my biggest test so far. In 2019, I began to be tested for deep brain stimulation, a surgery I said I would never consider. I passed all the testing, and June 4th, 2020, I had my first deep brain stimulation surgery after a 2-month delay because of COVID. During that 2-month delay, I had a lot of time to second guess my decision of having the surgery, because it is done while you are awake. And frankly, a few nights before my surgery was due to take place, I decided that this wasn't going to happen. We had had company for dinner that night, and when I walked out to her car, I confessed that I was too scared to go through with the operation. We talked, and then she prayed for me. I still wasn't totally convinced. I came back in the house and started praying, and by the time my surgery day and time came, the surgeon even remarked to my husband that he had never seen anyone so calm and relaxed before going for brain surgery. But I just knew God would be with me and the surgical team that morning. April 24th, 2024 was my fourth, and I prayed, final brain surgery, and was due to complications with the wires in my brain moving slightly and causing me not to get the full benefit of the first two surgeries. These surgeries are not a cure for Parkinson's, but helped me live more normal life and taking minimal medications. My favorite scriptures through all of this are Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him who gives me the strength," and 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." I still have them playing Christian music throughout my surgeries, and it keeps me focused on God's love and protection to all of us. And my surgeon actually sings along while he's operating. Thank you.
Now, I can't remember a time when I didn't believe, but when I was back in Ohio one time for a visit with some cousins, my one first cousin asked me, she said, "Did you hear this story about your mother?" And I said, "What story?" So this is what she told me. Now, my mother passed away when I was 2 months shy of my 11th birthday. The last few months of her life, she lived with my dad's twin sister, who was an LPN. One day towards the end, the doctor was out talking to my father and ready to pronounce my mom gone. But she woke up. And what she said was, she had gone up a flight of beautiful white steps. And at the top, there were two beautiful birds. Those birds, of course, were angels. They told her it wasn't her time yet, that she had one more week. So she came, and that's what she told the doctor and my father and my aunt. And it was 1 week later that she passed away. So this brings to me a definite feeling of calm at times, knowing that I don't have to worry about it, because that's where my mom went. She passed away 1 week later, just like the angels told her. So if this helps any of you to believe in a hereafter, thank goodness. Thank God.
I grew up in a small town in northern Pennsylvania and went to a little brick church. And when I was 3 years old, my mom took me to Sunday school for the first time. And I remember that very vividly, even at 3 years old. My teacher's name was Elvira Carlson. She was a wonderful, wonderful lady. And she was very insistent that we learn Bible verses, even at 3 years old. The first Bible verse I memorized was Ephesians 4:32, King James Version, of course, way back then. Be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, at three, the part I remembered was, be ye kind one to another. And without a doubt, that was the beginning of my spiritual journey. Weeks later, when my folks were having a rare tiff, I looked up from my play and piped up, be ye kind one to another. Very likely pointing my scolding finger at them. There can never be too much kindness. I attend a study group that emphasizes that we should think with our hearts and not with our heads. If everyone could do that, it would change the world. Maybe some of you remember this little poem that was written quite a few years ago by Lewis C. Scheiman. Wouldn't this old world be better if the folks we meet would say, I know something good about you, and treat us just that way? Wouldn't life be happier if the good that's in us all were the only thing about us that folks bothered to recall? Wouldn't it be nice to practice that fine way of thinking, too? You know something good about me, and I know something good about you. Be ye kind one to another.
Good morning. If you could all check your bulletins, someone in here probably has George Schumacher's statement. It should be a typed letter. Oh, I can see. I have long felt protected by and drawn strength from my faith during good times and the not so good times. I have worked in law enforcement and emergency response for over 45 years. I have always believed that I would come home at the end of my shift. Many have not. Law enforcement officers are forced to make critical decisions in a split second. My strength and my faith and God's love gave me the ability to do just that. I always feel He is always with me. That is not to say that I haven't been scared to death several times in my career, but I was comforted knowing that He was watching over me. The more difficult aspect of my faith has been trying to understand and deal with the pure evil and suffering that we were witness to. Death notifications, the suffering of families, the murder of innocent children, ground zero. My faith was tested during these times because of my inability to understand, though it never wavered. The first passage from the Bible that I've always found comfort in are the words of the 23rd Psalm. I can recall times when I needed strength and the words, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me," gave me the strength to face uncertainty. Matthew 5:9 also has special meaning, as I have always felt, "Blessed be the peacemakers, who is my charge by Him to keep others safe and protect the innocent." Having faith means I trust that no matter what, it is part of His plan and that His hand guides my footsteps in those times of need.
So this will probably be shorter than I was going to. Oh, well. My journey has been rather circuitous. I was born in New Jersey, lived in a little town called New Gretna. Some people have heard of Tuckerton. That's nearby. The Presbyterian church where I was baptized in would easily fit up on this platform. It was that small. In 1960, my dad got transferred from Lakehurst up to Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, to the Navy Depot. You know where that is. And there wasn't a Presbyterian church there, so we went to a Methodist church. Excuse me. Went there for a couple years, and as children can kind of sometimes notice that what someone acts like on Sunday, they don't act like on Monday. Yeah, that disillusioned me for a while. So I actively avoided organized religion for quite a few years. I still tried to follow the Ten Commandments. I figure if you follow those, you'll probably be doing okay. You know, here's 10 rules, just follow these, and you'll turn out all right. In 1980, I got married, and she was a member of the Church of the Brethren. I don't see, there's a gal here that used to go to the Church of the Brethren. And they selected me to be the chorister, to lead the singing up front. As Lisa knows and most of the other people, I don't read music. Never learned. Doesn't let bother me. But the fun thing about that was, the holidays, the Amish women would come in, because Brethren, Mennonite, and Amish are very closely related. And when they would come in, I would turn to our piano player, who also sang. I sang in a gospel a cappella quartet for 15 years. And I'd say, "Everything's a cappella today." She'd go, "Yes." And it's kind of neat to hear the same hymn in German and English at the same time. And those women sing well. Boy, do they sing well. Let's see. Went to Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania for a while after I had a wife pass away, and sang in the choir there, became a soloist, and then I moved down here. And the first day I walked in here to check the place out, I know I was moving here, Bunny, I don't know, how would you say that? Did you accost me, or... But I mentioned that I sang in a choir, and she quick ran and got Karen. And Karen comes out and goes, "You looking for a tenor?" She goes, "You want to sing today?" I said, "Well, what are you singing?" She told me. I said, "I know those." So my first visit, I'm robed up singing on the choir. I like music. Sorry about that. So, yeah. And that's kind of my journey. And that's why I'm here. And with this great group of people. And I thank you. Bye.
In my life, as I've witnessed others describing their journey and commitment to their faith or giving a public testimony, it often has included an event or a specific experience or set of experiences that were life-changing, which propelled them to seek out answers and turn to God, which in turn led them on their spiritual path. For years, I wondered why my path had not included that specific sudden experience that would open my eyes to accept Jesus as my Savior, that aha moment of enlightenment regarding faith that would set me on a course of spirituality that I had never previously experienced. I would describe the growth of my faith as being steady. I've had a steady journey in the development of my relationship with God. I was blessed with parents who exemplified their faith daily. As early as I can remember, I was encouraged to ask questions, to seek answers. I learned early in my life to rely upon my faith to get me through rough times. Through the ups and downs of life, I had been in His hands in my most important relationships as a daughter, wife, mother, mother-in-law, sister, grandmother, and friend. I've had so many prayers answered. However, there have been many times where what I wanted was not always the end result. In those times, I have felt God's comfort and guidance as I learned to accept the outcomes. During the past few weeks of reflection, as I prepared for this morning's service, I was acutely aware that my spiritual path is mine. It's unique to me. This reflection has made me even more grateful for God's love and guidance throughout my life. Even though I've never experienced that, aha, so this is what faith is, moment in my life, I've had many, many, many instances of, God, I know you're here with me. God, that was you, wasn't it? Okay, God, I get it. Or Jesus, thank you for giving me the strength to get through this. I know, I feel that God has always had me in His hands. Through preparing for today, I've learned that I shouldn't assume that my faith journey probably wouldn't have any impact on people who are listening to me. But as a Christian, it's my responsibility to share about my spiritual journey as it may be worthwhile to someone else, even if it's only one person. It's okay to not have that pivotal, defined moment of clarity of faith, but instead to have many small moments of realizations that contribute to an ongoing, steady acceptance that God, that Jesus as our Savior, is the constant in life. A year and a half ago, I felt drawn to come back to this church following an extended departure. Initially, I thought I was at a place in my faith journey where I could attend church on Sunday without becoming as involved as I was in previous years here. Apparently, God had different plans for me, and I feel that I need to follow Him. He does not want me to sit quietly on a pew and be a spectator. He wants me to participate in worship through music. I feel for the first time that I'm in a place in my spiritual journey where I can accept and carry out the responsibilities of being an elder. I truly have felt called in the past few months to take an active role in providing support for our members, inviting others to join us in knowing that God is in their lives and supporting them as they grow spiritually. I'm excited to spread the word of God and to be His servant to the best of my abilities. So on this Pentecost Sunday, I feel blessed to be standing in front of you today to share my excitement in this stage of my continuing faith journey. Thank you.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, we pray for the church. Pour out your Spirit's power anew on us today so that we may dream dreams and see visions of your coming realm of goodness and glory. Life-giving God, we pray for this community.
Empower us with hope, deepen our bones, that we may arise and dance with joy. Life-giving God, we pray for loved ones. Intercede in the lives of those who are sick or weak, groaning for redemption, longing for peace. Give them healing, help, and hope of salvation. Eternal God, show forth in us and in our world the good news of your saving power and love, so that all may believe and have life in you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. For those of you who may not know me, I'm Bruce Cook, one of the elders of your church. Because of time restraints this morning, I'm not able to tell you my entire journey. It's kind of a lengthy one. I didn't become a Christian until I was 42 years old. And I kind of liken myself to Job, have, don't have again. But that's another story for another time because of the time. But I would love to share my story with any one of you or any group of people anytime you would like to hear it. But what I'm going to do today is share a couple of scriptures that have served me very well in my 32-year journey with the Lord. One of them is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, as I told the kids at the middle school when I gave this talk a couple years ago, we obviously know that I can't jump off this building and fly like a bird. And we obviously know that I cannot stand out in the middle of Highway 44 and stop a Mack truck or survive. But God gives me the strength to get through the things that life throws at me, like the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, a less than stellar doctor's report. He does give us strength. The other piece of scripture that I lean heavily on is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in everything you do, and he will show you the right path. Now, some of those examples of how I do that is when I have a decision to make, the first thing I do is go to Scripture, see if I can find Scripture that pertains to what I'm going through at the time, and generally I can find my answer. The other way is to seek out godly, spiritual people whom I have come to admire and respect and love, and God speaks to them through me, as he has to you, I'm sure. Some examples of that are when I was going through or deciding whether to be a Stephen minister. I had conversations with Denise Lay. Many of you know her. When it came time to think about being a Stephen leader, I sought out Gail Hill. When I was trying to decide whether I should really be an elder of this church, I sought out my wife, Georgia, who, trust me, is a lot more spiritual than I am. I had some life issues that I needed to get through. I went to Dr. Dennis Bennett. When I need encouragement or just uplifting, I go to Dr. Mark Scott. When I had some questions about ministry and where my ministries were taking me, it was Pastor Lou Allen. And when it came to whether I should deal with the kids at the schools, it was my friend and mentor, Frank Maddox. Just a few examples of how, if you depend on God to speak to you and you use the resources you have, instead of depending on yourself, which is usually a very bad idea, then you will get your answers and he will give you the path that you need to take. So that is my story this morning. Thank you for your time and God bless.
Good morning. I'm from Philadelphia, where I was a member of the Memorial Presbyterian Church of Fox Chase. My father would drop my sister and I off for Sunday school and church and then pick us up. Later, when I got older, I was in the choir, sang at 8:30, and then Sunday school at 9:30, choir practice at 10:30, and back again at night at 7 o'clock for youth group. I've never had an aha moment. I've always believed. I have a lot of questions, but I've always believed. My husband had a faith like a child. If it was in the Bible, that's all he needed. He would refer to God as the manufacturer. And one day he said to me, "I had a long talk with the manufacturer last night, and everything's going to be okay." I have not only been a Presbyterian, I've been a Methodist, a Lutheran. I went to the Baptist Bible School. I have visited the Episcopal Church, the Mormon Church, the Unity Church, and one you never heard of, the Swedenborg Church. But I always come back to the Presbyterian Church. You're always so loving and accepting, and I'm very proud to be a member of First Presbyterian Church of Inverness.